the stability, the consistency of the skies above us. They don't use actual words, he says, but they speak. Just speak of the beauties of God, speaking without words. Another lovely picture he paints is, he said, wherever you go in the world, whatever language people use, this language is universal. So wherever you go in the world, the creation is there. If you went into the hidden jungles of the world, the beauties are there. If you went into the middle even of Frodsham High Street, I even love driving from Helsby to Frodsham because there's the beauties of the hills on one side and the beauties of the industrial landscape on the other side, things that God has used man to make. There's a beauty of all kinds all over the place. And that's what he's really saying. And he's talking about the picture of the sun coming up every morning. And it does come up every morning, even though sometimes you wonder where it is. It comes up every morning, it goes down every night. There's a consistency there. We can absolutely depend on that. We can depend it's going to be dark at night and light during the day. There's the dependency in all of this. This is all a picture of the kind of God we have. The faithful God, the creator God, the one we can depend on, the one who is consistent. All of this creation, says the psalmist, speaks of this God. And this is the reason for our security. Yahweh, the self-revealing God, who's revealed himself in creation as it is in charge of this world. I think I've said to you many times before that I always remember going into school in Tewkesbury and one of the head teachers who had that lovely poster on that said, relax, God's in charge. And this is really what the psalmist is wanting to say to us. God is in charge. He's made this world. He's holding it together. And we can depend on him. He's shown himself as a dependable God. But there is more. There's another step. Thank you, Sue. Because he goes on to say that Yahweh is to be loved and obeyed. God is to be loved and obeyed. Listen to this. This is the other beautiful poetic part of the psalm. It seems to move into another section now. He's talking about the beauties of creation and God revealed in creation. But now he's wanting to say, not only is God revealed in creation, God is revealed in the things he has actually said, the words he has spoken through the prophets, through the patriarchs, through the apostles, through so many people. And he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, and honey in the honeycomb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them is great reward. So the psalmist now says, yep, we've seen God revealed in the beauties of creation. But we also see God revealed in the words that he has spoken. And we have it in the Bible. We have the word of God. God speaks through so many ways. There are so many ways that God speaks to us. And the psalmist says, I've seen that in creation, now I'm hearing that from God. I'm hearing the words of God. So what does he say about these words that God speaks? The first thing, one of the first things he says is that there's revival or refreshment in the words of God. In the first part there, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul, or in other translations it uses the word reviving the soul. We hear a lot of talk sometimes about revival. We're encouraged to pray for revival. I wonder what we mean by that. Actually, I suppose what we simply mean is that more people will come to know Jesus. And there will be a greater awareness of God in our nation and in our world that seems to be rejecting God in so many ways. We pray for that kind of revival. But I don't think that is what the psalmist is thinking about. He's thinking about the continuing refreshment of knowing God afresh, coming to God afresh every day, renewing and refreshing our awareness of God's promises day by day, through quiet times, through just the daily walking with God, knowing that refreshment. If you get tired and you feel like being refreshed, you sometimes go on a holiday, don't you? Maybe you'll take your camper van and you'll travel around Scotland. Maybe you'll take my daughters this week and her children. You'll take a tent. No, that's not for me at all. And you'll go and find the best curry house in the world down in Tendi in Wales, and you'll sleep in a tent, and you'll come back and you say, yes, I feel refreshed. I feel refreshed I'm relaxed. And the psalmist is talking about this spiritually. He says, we need spiritual refreshment. And when we come to the words of God, they refresh us. Sometimes when you read the Bible, you think, I hadn't noticed that before. That's renewed my faith. That's strengthened my faith. And sometimes things happen to us. And we say, I was beginning to doubt God, but something has happened. And my faith is refreshed. My faith is renewed. And the psalmist said, I find that. I find when I come to the words of God, they refresh me, they renew me, they revive me. But he says, also, they impart wisdom. They give me wisdom. He's a wise king. I don't know whether you would claim to be wise ever, claim wisdom. But what he's really saying is, wisdom means that God's ways are best. When we look into the word of God, we discover actually when we're obedient to the word of God, when we live the way God wants us to live, that's the best way to live. The psalmist says, I want to obey God's ways because I know that his ways are best. I know that he loves me. I know he wants me. What's the other result of that? Well, in verse 8 he says, the precepts of the Lord are right. These are different kinds of words, precepts, laws, ordinances, all meaning the same thing, the words of God. And he says, what else do they give? Well, yes, they impart wisdom. Yes, they can refresh and renew. But they give joy. They give joy. As a parent, when your child obeys you, it's a reason for joy, isn't it? It's a reason for surprise for some parents. But, God says, when you obey me, when you do what I say, it gives God delight and it gives us delight. Because actually, sometimes as a child, when you obey your parents and you see them pleased, it's a joyful thing. It's a nice experience, isn't it? It's a nice experience to be encouraged. It's a good experience to be encouraged by God. It's a joyful time when we obey him and we see him move and act in our lives. Because when we do obey, when we live by the laws of God, then we can expect to know God's blessing in that. He also says later on in verse 8, that the precepts of the commands of the Lord are laid in giving light to the eyes. God's a God who directs. God's a God who leads. God's a God who points us in the right direction. Of course, I suppose that goes without saying. If God's going to give us light, we're going to have to listen. We're going to have to take some time out to hear what he's saying, to read his word. And of course, that's what the psalmist is talking about. And in some translations, the word is light. In some translations, the word is insight. You might call it guidance as we read the word of God and we discover which direction to go in. And sometimes when we're not sure which direction to go in, God just gives us some peace of mind. A few weeks ago, as I began to think about the future and things didn't begin to fall into place, I was getting worried. But just over the last week or so, I've begun to find the peace of God in all of this. God is in charge. God is giving guidance. God is giving insight. Verse 9 goes on to talk about the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. What does the psalmist mean when he speaks about the fear of the Lord? Is it being afraid of God? I don't think so. I don't think the Bible says we need to be afraid of God because God is on our side. I remember years ago seeing the headline in the Sun when we went into the Falklands and it said, God's on our side. I don't know whether we had that right to say that, but as Christians, we know God is on our side. He has our good at heart. And we're told to have a sense of reverence. That's what the fear of God means, a sense of reverence, a sense of recognition. We've referred to it a lot of times, haven't we, in our worship this morning. The sense of awe, the sense of wonder. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, when he came face to face with God, he was filled with wonder at the magnificence of God. Sometimes when we look at creation even, we're filled with a sense of awe, a sense of wonder of its beauty. And that's partly recognizing there's a wonderful God behind this. So as we look at the words of God, we should be filled and can be filled with that sense of awe, wonder. That's the fear of God, a respect for God, a reverence for God. And he goes on in verse 10. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. I wonder what the most important thing in my life is. I wonder what the desires of my life is. Because he talks about desires there. He said, more to be desired are they than gold. He doesn't have to use those words in this particular translation. But in other places it says, there's a desire to be. In other versions it says, they're to be desired. We desire to follow God. I don't know about you, but as I grow up as a Christian, I find in my heart very often a greater desire to know God's ways and to know God. Because as the psalmist said, they are the best ways. And they lead to true prosperity. So there's a whole beauty in what the psalmist is saying about the words of God. They lead to renewal and revival and refreshment. They lead to wisdom, direction for us. They lead to joy. There's a joy in following God. They lead to light and insight in our lives. They lead to reverence for God, respect for God, a recognition that God is on my side, God is on our side, and will lead me through to the very best things. To have a desire to follow him, to do the best I can to follow him and to be obedient to him. But then in verse 11, it also says, by them is thy servant, your servant, warned. The words of God sometimes are warnings. I don't know about you, but when you go into certain places, of course, you have warning signs, don't you? Saying, you know, don't jump in this river. There's a beautiful one. When I was in the States with my sisters, across a narrow bridge going up a hill, and it said something on it, please don't jump from this bridge, it's dangerous. Well, I thought, yes, it would be. Long way down, it seemed, you know, to be stated the obvious. But really, the words of God give us warnings. If we disobey God's ways, if we disobey God's rules, there's a penalty to be paid, because God's designed the world to work in that way. And he said there's a choice. There's a choice in the psalm of warning if we ignore God, or reward if we follow him. This is the psalmist's love of the word of God. He sees it as all of these things. And if you've got a bit of time, meditate on some of the words in whatever version of the Bible you use. There are different words used for the same things. Meditate on some of those words. Think of how those things are reflected in your life. God, Yahweh, revealed in creation. God, Yahweh, speaks to us through his word and offers us and promises us blessing and guidance. And finally, thank you, the final part of the psalm, really, the psalmist comes to a time of worship. He's reflected on the God he can see reflected in creation. He's reflected on the God he sees reflected in the word of God. And then he says at the end, keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So the psalmist has come out of his reflection on creation, come out of his reflection on the word of God. And what he now says is, as he begins to worship Yahweh, he says, Lord, look into my heart. If you see there's any wrong thoughts, any wicked thoughts, Lord, will you forgive me? Will you cleanse me? Because he's seen what kind of God he is. And he knows that if he comes before this God will change him. This God will forgive him. This God will remove from him any wrong thoughts, any angry thoughts, any evil thoughts. He asks him to do that. It's exciting, isn't it, that I can be what God wants to be me to be. And even when it does go wrong, even then the wrong thoughts and the bitter thoughts and the angry thoughts creep in, God can deal with them because God is a forgiving God. And so at the end of the psalmist comes and says, Lord, accept my worship. And what he's really saying, I think, is I'm not a perfect man. I have wrong thoughts. I need you to help me. I need your cleansing. But I know you will accept my worship. And also I know, he says wonderful things about this, God is his rock and his redeemer. He says, for me, at the bottom of everything, at the bottom of everything is you. Beneath everything is you. My feet are standing on a rock, a strong place. Even when the world around me is crashing around me, everything seems to be going wrong, underneath me is the rock of Yahweh, this God who doesn't change, who I see reflected in creation, who I see reflected in the words he speaks. This is the great God that we trust in him. Again, I can remember being at Bible college, and I can remember when things were not going right, and we didn't have any money, and we didn't seem to have anything, and everything seemed to be going wrong. And one day I sat at my desk, and I thought, God, what have I done? Why have I chosen to follow you? This is a mess. And in that moment, it was like being at the bottom of a very deep well, but at the bottom of that well, there was absolute rock. And I thought, you know, at the end of the day, I know I'm standing on the rock. And my faith became stronger than ever at that time. In one of the hardest times of our lives, one of the hardest times when it was to trust God, I knew that he was there and I knew that he was real. And I wonder if the psalmist was coming to that point. He said, you're my rock. You're my redeemer. You're the one who refreshes me. You're the one who renews me. So will you accept my worship and accept my thanks? And that's how we can respond this morning. We can say to God, accept my worship. Even though I mess up. I mess up so much. I make a mistake. I get it wrong. I forget you. Even then, I can come back to you and I can be refreshed and I can be renewed. Perhaps we need that refreshment. Perhaps we need that renewal. We need it all the time. But God is there to give it. Whether it's by going out and looking and seeing what a beautiful world we live in. Even if it does rain tomorrow. It probably will, because that's the promise. Even then, the beauty is still there. Or whether it's coming to the Word of God, looking at the promises of God and remembering who He is. Whatever it is, let's be refreshed. Let's be renewed. Let's be secure. Let's find Him to be our rock and our Redeemer in Jesus' name.